We want to talk today about the persecutions. We are persecuted, and the brethren are persecuted. We know that Christians will be persecuted. So we want to talk today about persecutions. Joseph is saying persecution is good for us. Persecution is good for us. It's just like, for example, you would be the owner of a forest, and the tempest comes, and some branches fall down. But you know the branches that fall down are the sick ones. The ones that were weak, those are the ones that fall down. Even Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, 7, 7 and 8. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. This messenger of Satan to buffet him is not, a sickness, but it was a messenger, somebody giving him a message. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. This messenger of Satan were the Pharisees persecuting Paul. They were going around after him, persecuting him. Oh, he's not following the law, and so on. The Pharisees were running after him, persecuting him, stoning him. And three times he prayed, Jesus, take it away from me. But God said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what this means? That God uses the devil. God needs the lies of the devil, the lies of the devil against Paul, against Jesus when he was here, against us, against his apostles, against his people, to get us rid of half hearts, okay? Because the ship will sink. If the ship will sink if there are the wrong people there. The wrong people will make the ship sink. Why does God allow this? Because God is in the business of purifying, of dividing and purifying. God is in the business of separating the full heart against the half a heart. You know, like Gideon? Gideon had a big army, but it was a mixed army. Those who were belly aching and those who were full heart. And what did God do? He purified that army of Gideon. And he kept just a little piece of that army. A few people were left. And you think, boy, how can you win a war with 300 people of Gideon? But God did. God won. Read in Judges, the book of Judges. Read his story. God told Gideon, all those guys who want to warm up the benches on Sunday morning, all those who watch TVs, tell them to take off. And one purging came, and all the fearful people left. And then there was the other test, the test of the water. Those who were drinking water like a dog were sent away. And those who were vigilant, drinking water, those were left. 300 only were like that, were vigilant and stayed with Gideon. And with that 300, he won for Israel. And they won over hundreds and thousands of enemies. It's the same like... For the church, you know, it's a positive thing, the persecution. Because the persecution purifies the church and the murmurers leave. Because the murmurers waste their time anyway. Jesus is called the rock of offense, okay? He's going to offend people. Those who don't pray, those who drink water like the dogs, they are going to get offended and going to leave. We're like Nehemiah. We're like Nehemiah. Up on the wall. We don't want to come down from our wall to talk with Sambalat and Tobiah. Many people on the internet want us to come down from our wall of radio blast and go down and fight with them down from the wall. But we don't want that. Say, no, no, no. We're doing a good job here, and we don't want to go down to argue, okay? This guy's got offended because we don't read their emails. We don't read the emails because we don't want to go to bed with headaches. We don't read the emails of the people sending us curses, okay? Because we don't want to argue. Yes, we read it, but we don't want to argue. We read it, just to read it, but we are not going to get down from our wall and argue. Okay? Not just that we don't study what they publish against us, okay? We do not care to listen to what people preach against us. You know, it's not that we don't want to listen only to the messages against us. We don't listen to anybody's messages against anybody because it's not edifying, Angela's saying. It's not edifying. It's not edifying. You know, the little time we have, we want to take care of the sheep who need help. Okay? We want to take care of the sheep instead of arguing. What's better, to argue with the devil, Joseph says, or to reach the sheep? It's better to reach the sheep. Amen. Let's read a few scriptures about this subject. The subject is, all those who live in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If we're not persecuted, that means we are not living godly in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy, if you live in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. Okay? You are a false Christian or a sleepy Christian if you don't have any persecutions. The churches who are not persecuted, they are not true churches. They are false churches. Inside the church, there will be a true sheep, but the system is wrong. 1 Timothy 3:12. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. There was a dead church in the book of Revelation. And Jesus said, you have a name to be alive, but you're dead. But inside, there were some true sheep also. So we don't generalize. It's not everybody. Inside, there are sheep. Inside, there are sheep. The more we are in God's will, the more the devil will persecute us. We have to get used to it. As Jesus, as his disciples and his martyrs, we are destined to be persecuted. More Jesus was bringing fruits, more the evil one was becoming more frustrated and fighting against him. The favorite agents of the devil, who's that? The religious tares. The religious tares are the devil's favorite agents. Let's read some scriptures. Matthew 12, from 22 to 32. And was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed. 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So they're saying that Jesus is possessed with the devil here. Be careful. When you accuse somebody that he is a devil, be careful. Because if he's not, you will go under God's curse if he's not. If he is, fine, but if he's not. Look what Jesus says. 26. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? And if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. 30. He that is not with me is against me. 31. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven against All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven. Whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. Matthew 12:22-32. Be careful if you persecute somebody, but he has the Spirit of God in him working, you will be in trouble, okay? It says here that the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. In other words, the lake of fire. If these people that you insult have the God Spirit, he has God Spirit in him, then you are in danger of hellfire. Who said that? Jesus. It's quite a curse from Jesus' part to say this, no? It's quite a cursing. It's quite heavy. One time I was evangelizing on the street, and a religious guy came to me, and I started to evangelize him. And he starts to make fun of me. And he said, you know what, you're a false prophet. And he starts making fun of me. And then I said to him, you accuse me of being a false prophet? I think I have the Spirit of God. I have the Spirit of God in me and I have the Spirit of prophecy in me. So I'm a true child of God. I'm not infallible, but I am a son of God who has the Holy Spirit. I gave this guy some scriptures, this guy on the streets. I gave him Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, verse 3, I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. If you evangelize, all those who bless you will be blessed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the blessings of yesterday, they are also for today. The blessings of yesterday are for today. The word of God is also today valid. So I told this man, look, I only wanted to talk to you about the love of Jesus and his salvation. Why do you, as an answer, insult me? Why do you insult me when I want to give you the love of Jesus only? Then I told him, look, if I am truly a man of God, you will reap what you are sowing. At that point, that religious man got upset. And he walked away cursing me. Plus, these people don't know us, okay? You have to really know a person before you can say that he's from the devil, okay? This verse, Angela says, in Genesis, it's very clear. But don't you think another verse should be applied now, Angela's saying? Shouldn't we bless those who curse us and pray for them? Didn't Jesus say to bless those who curse you? Shouldn't we apply this scripture instead of Genesis? Genesis 12, shouldn't we apply the other scripture, what Jesus said, to bless those who curse you? First of all, Jesus in Matthew 12 said, you will not be forgiven. It's true, Jesus said, bless those who curse you. But let's put some verses in balance, okay? Let's put all the verses in balance together. You know what the false prophet does? He takes one scripture and he only dwells on that, and that's it. The true prophet interprets the scriptures with other scriptures. So when does it apply to bless those who curse you? When does that apply? Well, for example, you cannot understand the book of Revelation, without the book of Daniel. In this case, Jesus is talking about people who were ignorant, like those who crucified him. Those who crucified him were in ignorance. When they cursed Jesus, oh, you do signs with the power of the devil. He said, be careful. Be careful, you are gonna speak against the Holy Ghost and you'll be in trouble. So it's not that he blessed them, he rebuked them. If people are ignorant, like those who crucified him, then yes, you bless. You bless while they curse because they are ignorant. they're ignorant, that they crucify you, and you bless them because they're ignorant. But when it comes to people who know, who are not ignorant, those who see Jesus in you, they see Jesus in you, they see the works you do for Jesus, but they continue to reject the truth. And they reject the messenger of God. In that instance, like God told Abraham, at that point the blessing will become a curse. 2 Chronicles 36:15, there is an example of this. From 15 to 17, 2 Chronicles 36. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Wow, verse 16. So he was sending messengers, God, to help them, to bring them to repentance, and they were getting offended. I am trying to wake up the churches. You are sleeping. You are half asleep. Oh, you full of pride. Who do you think you are, a prophet? I am trying to help you, to wake you up, to do something more for Jesus. I'm trying to love you too, with my corrections. Okay, to wake you up to do more for Jesus. That's what I'm trying to do. Verse 19 and 20. And they burned the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. They didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't listen to the prophets, and they received the curses of God on their heads. When we give corrections to the churches, don't stop at the correction. Look what I'm trying to do with it. One time a child of mine told me, you give me this correction because you don't love me. Hey, no, because I love you, I correct you. Hebrews 12. Let's go to John 9. We see how Jesus was treating those who were not ignorant, okay? To the ignorant, you bless even though they curse you. The ignorants are those who don't know what they are doing. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they are doing. If one rejects you, I don't believe in Jesus, and for me you are an idiot. He's ignorant, he doesn't have Jesus in his heart, and he's just blaspheming you. One who tells you that you're an idiot because you try to evangelize him, you say, Father, he doesn't know what he's doing, I forgive him. But one who's not ignorant and one who knows what he's doing, how did Jesus treat this kind of people? Those who know, who are not ignorant, that scripture doesn't apply to them. Bless with them, of course, okay? Those who are not ignorant, who knew, look how Jesus treated them. John 9:40-41. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, If you are blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remains. John 9:40-41. John 8:41. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your fathers you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Do you think Jesus was blessing here those who was cursing him? No. So we see the difference. Read all John 8:44. You have to discern, okay? You cannot bless everybody. One who chooses to live for Jesus will face the same difficulties of Jesus. Since I'm a disciple of Jesus, I find the devils right and left. Let's read John 15:18-24. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. but because you are not of the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hated you. Prepare, brethren. Those of you who want to evangelize, all of you who want to be the bride of Christ, prepare to be hated, okay? Like Christ was hated. Yeah, but in the churches, they are doing fine. You can be a Christian and not be persecuted. Yeah, they are not persecuted, but they are not really living the life of a Christian. For sure they don't live in the will of God, and they are probably losing their crown. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Therefore, it is prophesied. It's prophesied that if you only live for Christ, you will be persecuted and hated. It's a prophecy. Either Jesus is a liar or you will be persecuted. The Christian who is not persecuted is because he is going hand in hand with the devil and with the religions which are dead and with the world. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hated me hated my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none of the men did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. The scripture is very clear. If I wouldn't have come, and if I wouldn't have done the works, they wouldn't have had a cloak for their sin. But they've seen the works. They heard the gospel, and they still hate me. They still persecute me. Then they fall under the category of the Pharisees, of sons of the devil. Doesn't matter if they sit on the best church bench. They are tares. They see the works you do. They see you do works for Christ, and they still persecute you, and they still curse you. They are tares. What are you supposed to do? You leave them in their tares with the other tares, and you follow Jesus. You know a Christian through their works, what they do for Christ. Yes, we can bless those who curse us if they have not seen our works in Christ. But if after they've seen them and they choose to persecute you, then they are messengers of the devil. And they are in the following category, Hebrews 6:4-6. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Hebrews 6:4-6. Luke 14:34-35. Salt is good. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but man cast it out. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. The same teaching we read in 2 John 1:9-11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has no God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come unto you and bring not his drunk doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You don't need to receive him in your house, and you cannot even salute him and tell him God bless you, okay? It's not good to bless a messenger of the devil who knew God's work and decided to fight against it. The only blessing you give these people is the repentance. Ask God to help them repent. Jesus didn't bless them in any other way except with repentance. We cannot love those who hate God. Psalm 139:19-23. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody man. Verse 20, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against me? I don't hate them who hate thee. Wow, what a verse. 22, I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Wow. Psalm 139, 19 through 23. It's not true that God is only love. Yes, He is love, but not only. There is a moment to love, Ecclesiastes says, and there is a moment to hate. Read Revelation 2:6. Revelation 2:6. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Revelation 2:16. 15. So you also, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Revelation 2:15. So Jesus two times says, I hate. I hate. Revelation 2:15. Verse 6 again. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Revelation 2:6. So there are things that you hate. God hates some things. You hate some things. The God hates some things. This is an encouragement, Angela is saying. This is an encouragement for the brethren who evangelize and they are receiving persecutions. They are receiving persecutions. Angela said that you, Joseph, are saying that we are very blessed that we are persecuted. That means we are doing something for God. And she's saying the story of John Wesley. John Wesley was evangelizing with a horse from town to town. And one day he was riding between two cities and he realized that in 3 days, three entire days, nobody persecuted him for the last 3 days. 3 days, one after another, he wasn't persecuted. Nobody threw anything at him. And he, alarmed, got off the horse and said, can it be that I sinned? Am I not on the right path anymore? God, what is happening? And he went on his knees to pray. He asked God, show me, where did I do wrong? Why am I not being persecuted? While he's praying on his knees, a guy is passing by, seeing him on his knees, and recognizes him. Ah, you're the preacher who goes from town to town preaching. And he says, I'll take care of you. And he takes a rock and throws it at him. And John Wesley gets on his feet, all happy, and says, thank God, okay, everything is fine. I'm still in your will and in your presence. Thank you, Jesus. So there are some things which God hates, like we read in the book of Revelation right now. It's not that we can go to sleep and just think, oh, God loves everybody and He tells us to love and that's it. You know, any sin against Brother Joseph is not a problem, is forgiven. But if something is from the Lord, what I'm saying, be careful, it's dangerous to speak against that, against what the Lord does. So let's prepare ourselves for persecutions, okay? Angela's saying, Brother Joseph, I want to tell you something, says Angela. Our brethren who evangelize on internet, on Facebook and so on, they are being persecuted on Facebook and on internet. How should they protect themselves? How should they protect themselves against these persecutions? How should they deal with it? I want to ask you, how should they deal with the persecutions on the internet? My suggestion is, says Joseph, use the social media to evangelize, but not to make a conversation with the wolves, okay? The sheep has one way of talking, but the wolf has another way of talking. So when you smell the wolf, don't make a conversation with him. Don't make a conversation with the wolf. If you evangelize and somebody reacts to you with poison, he's a wolf. And then you need to do what Eve should have done and she didn't do. She's there dialoguing with the devil. Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay? Don't say they're having fellowship with these things. Don't argue with them, okay? Don't argue with these people. Somebody who argues with you stole your time. Somebody doesn't want to evangelize and steals your time who want to evangelize. And they provoke you and they insult you. Do like we do. When you discover somebody is a negative agent, negative agent of the enemy, don't even open their emails. Ignore them. Why should you dirty your mind with the devil's stuff? You don't need to see what the devil is doing, okay? You know, this is a commandment, what I'm telling you. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. People who have headaches and obsessions and headaches and not sleep at night, check, what are you thinking of? Are you wasting time with the goats and with negativities? When Jesus was being attacked, yes, he was answering right away, but then he was witnessing. I mean, Jesus said, let them alone. They are blind, leaders of the blind that shall both fall into a ditch. Leave them alone. We don't read all these negative things, and neither do we answer them. Okay? We invest our time for the Lord and the sheep. Otherwise, this will be just obstacles. This will be obstacles to take us away from the Lord's work and the sheep. And we counsel you, brethren, the same. You go evangelizing, okay? Don't waste time with the goats. Search for the sheep. Jesus said, go look for the lost sheep of Israel, okay? Amen. Amen. That's right. So let's get going, brethren, to do God's will. Let's get going to work for the Lord. And use our time for evangelism. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. We love you, Jesus. Angela is asking, how do we know if some accusations against us are just lies? Well, the devil used the Pharisees against Jesus, okay? Usually, those things are used in a legalistic way. Okay, if you are being fought against in a legalistic way, you know that it doesn't bring good fruits, and that's from the enemy. They don't have any fruits to show for their work for Jesus, so what do? They discredit other people. Look at their fruits, okay? Somebody who's accusing you, look at their private life and in their life for Jesus. What do they do? What fruits does he have? He lives just to criticize others? That's all he does? He's so full of the devil's poison that the poison comes out of him. What can you do for him? Just pray for him. But don't stay there listening to his poison. Otherwise, you'll be depressed like him. Angela's saying, when Jesus was tempted by the devil quoted scriptures, but it was to make Jesus go on the wrong path with those scriptures. Be careful, even if they give you scriptures, watch out, watch out. You will never find, Joseph is saying, you will never find God's will by arguing scripture with scriptures with others, okay? Jesus didn't argue with the Pharisees to find out God's will. He went in Gethsemane to pray. Like that, he found God's will. He didn't find God's will arguing with the Pharisees. Because if you go arguing with the Pharisees, they might shake your faith, okay? If you go arguing with the Pharisees and you listen to them too much, they might shake your faith. Jesus warned his disciples, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. And Judas didn't listen to this warning, and he became like them. He followed the Pharisees. Judas followed the Pharisees and was poisoned by the leaven of the Pharisees. Story repeats itself. Cain hates Abel and persecutes him. The jealous brethren sell Joseph like a slave. The jealous brethren insult David, 1 Samuel 17. Pharisees were hating Jesus. John 11:53. Pharisees want Jesus to die. John 11, after Lazarus resurrected, oh, it doesn't matter if we... One time somebody told me, use the name of Jesus to deceive people. And what do I gain with that? Nothing. I just help people. I don't gain anything. 2 Corinthians 11, the false apostles who persecute Paul. The devil works like that. The brothers of Jesus criticize Jesus and don't believe in him. John 7:1-5. The devil works like that, and he didn't change, okay? 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. You want to live for Jesus? Prepare for persecutions and accusations and blasphemies against you and curses against you. Accused to be a devil. The devil will accuse you that you're a devil.
If you look in history, the persecutions of the martyrs of the first church came from part of the jealous religious people. Jealous religious people persecuted the martyrs. It's always the same. The devil works the same. Whoever wants to go on for the Lord has to get tough and has to get used to being persecuted by the devil. Nobody can just dream that you can serve the Lord and hope to have a good acceptance from the devil's part. The devil will always send his agents, his religious agents as well, to persecute you. Paul was persecuted, okay? Paul was persecuted by the religious. Jesus was persecuted by the religious. James was killed by the religious. Jesus was persecuted by the religious. We know the end. How does it end? It ends that the devil loses and we win in Jesus. Psalm 27:1-2. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. This can happen after years, months. It can come sooner or later. It can be after years of trials which you go through. God allows the Pharisees to try the church, okay? God revealed what was in Judas's heart, okay? He betrayed Jesus. That's what was in his heart. Then he woke up and he committed suicide. But God waited for him to be tried. Psalm 27:6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. The devil attacks, but the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. in the same trap they made for me. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Let's see what Jesus did. Let's get used to being persecuted by the tares of the devil. And help us, and let's be like soldiers, get tough and get used to the fight, like a soldier. The devil will send his tares and accuse us that we are of the devil. This is an old thing. They did it with Jesus and they will do it again. The devil doesn't have much fantasy.
E poi se tu la guardi ti metti a ridere, questa scrittura cosa c'entra? Niente. Leggi Matteo 10:16.
Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of the wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Beware of what? Of the devil? No, beware of men. Those in the synagogue, the devil is under our feet, is the man that gives you trouble. And they shall scourge you where? In their synagogues. Matthew 10:17. They will scourge you with a stick or with their words. 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Verse 21. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Amazing. Today the family in the world, most of the families are divided. One wants to read the Bible, one wants to go partying. The families are divided. The father, the child. It's incredible, this prophecy of Jesus, Matthew 10. Looks like a photo of what's happening today. What are we supposed to do? Follow Jesus. And if the family doesn't follow you, you give them love, but you go on for Jesus. What did Jesus tell the brethren who didn't want to follow him? In the Gospel of John, Jesus told them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. In other words, when you guys want to wake up and you want to follow me, do it. Verse 22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. The true faith, you see it when you don't give up, okay? For years the devil is trying to scare me, accuse me and whatnot. I'm here. I'm not forcing anybody to do anything. Everything is for free on the radio. Everything is for free. All the classes, everything. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? You're still not happy. If I would be selling the gospel, oh mercenary, I'm not saying that. I never sell anything. What am I supposed to do more than what I'm doing? Verse 25. It is enough for the disciple. Verse 25. It is enough for this disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Who is the household? You, me, the bride of Christ. If they persecuted our bridegroom, what will they do to us? We will get champagne from them? No. They will treat us the same, especially if you start evangelizing. If you want to do something for Jesus, they persecute you. Who do you think you are? I am nobody, but the gospel is everything. The gospel is everything. You need to put yourself in the knees in front of Jesus. Amen. Do I need to continue? Or is it clear? Is the message clear? Yes, it's clear. Angela is saying, first of all, I want to tell the brethren, get used to being persecuted. And second, I want to encourage you, go on for Jesus, okay? With the scriptures and with the Bible. You will win with Jesus. Giuseppe is saying, oh, we're getting persecutions on Facebook. What do we do? Some devils don't like what we are doing. They don't like what you are preaching, Brother Joseph. They are accusing us we're Antichrist. What Antichrist are we? I am preaching the gospel. I am preaching the gospel and eternal life. What Antichrist am I by preaching Jesus? The counsel I give you is to go on for Jesus. If you don't want to listen to this, do what you want. If you want to waste your time with the devil and listening to him, to his accusations, go ahead. But you will go to bed with a headache, okay? I counsel you to go to bed with Jesus. I counsel you, Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8, let's read it again. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Amen. Verse 9 also, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What you saw in us, that it's from the Lord, based on the word, then do it. If you see it brought fruit, do it. Do it. If you saw something that is wrong in us, if I told you ever, don't read the Bible, don't go evangelizing, this and that. If I ever told you anything wrong, don't listen to me. Please don't do it. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's false. Okay? If I would have said all the Catholics and the Protestants are dead, I never said that. I said always that the system is dead. The hierarchy is dead, but the sheep inside are wonderful. There are people with fruits around, okay? So, all the things which are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8, amen. Think on these things. Think of this. Don't go to bed at night with the devil. With the devil that told you this and this and that. Let the devil alone, okay? You go on for Jesus. Amen. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees, so many good works I've done unto you. For which of these good works do you persecute me? And I'm saying the same. For which of the good works I've done for the Lord you persecute me? You know what? It doesn't matter what you say. I go on for the Lord. And I counsel you, brethren, to do the same. And remember, Philippians 4:8. Amen.